Good morning and welcome back, all you Bills, Phils, Nannies, and Does out there, to the Mount Goatmore Cliff Dive podcast, where week in and week out, we get together and we talk about greatness. We discuss what it means to be the greatest of all time, and we come up with our list of the four goats on our Mount Goatmore. This week, it's just me and Cam waking up early in the morning to give you a morning episode, even though this is going to come out at the same time for you guys. We're doing this one in the morning. No beer right now, just coffee, just some good coffee with my best friend Cam. How you doing this week, bro?
Doing all right, man. This is my last day in my 6-day work week. I'm excited to start it with Mount Goatmore. I am like, man, it's early, but it's much earlier for you, or at least 2 hours worth. So I hope you're doing all right.
Oh, I'm good. This is when I like to wake up. I don't like to lay around much, very much. So I'm good. I woke up, I double checked my lists, fed all the animals, and now I'm ready to go.
I woke up and got some new coffee, Guatemalan. It's pretty good. Came with some honey sticks, S&W coffee. Or S&W Roasters. I'm not sure what it is, but they're out of Indiana. They make delicious coffee at a great cost. Used to have this real old school style website, but they've updated it now, which, I mean, it looks really good.
Good
coffee, give them a shout out. But this episode's not about coffee.
This episode's not about coffee. And we might be coming here a little bit chill, a little bit low energy because we just woke up. But this episode is action-packed. It's about fights. We've done one episode of this sort of mini series where we talked about animated fights. The last one we talked about non-anime western style, but how can you talk about animated fights without talking about anime series, the ones that do it better than anybody? Pretty excited for this one, Cam. We're talking about animated anime fights. And there was a near infinite amount to pick from. This is a huge list. I had to stick with the ones that I knew because there's just so much anime out there. Ahead of time, apologies because I don't think that we're held to this expectation, but we hold ourselves to it. But I have not seen every anime that was ever created. I am sorry for fans of animes out there that expect more from me. There's only so much time in a day.
What the heck? What's wrong with you, man? You haven't seen all of them that have ever happened? That's wrong.
Sorry.
Oh, well. I think we can still get some good lists out here. I don't know if you mentioned it, but like the second one we're doing in this sort of loose fighting series, greatest fight scenes. And I had some fun with this. It was difficult, like you said. I've seen all of these fights, but there were some of my favorite fights that I definitely had to leave out. Some I could maybe make a good argument for, but I think I picked the ones that, to me, best exude greatness. On that point, I am going to move on to the internet list, and this is Slash Films, the top 14 anime fights of all time ranked. I will say one thing, and maybe you noticed this, there were definitely some that came up over and over again on these lists. Burp.
A great anime fight is so impactful because it tends to be emotional to an extent that you actually don't get in a lot of live action stuff. It's tied to a lot of themes and stuff. And so there are some mastery ones. The way that I picked my list, really, sometimes I'll go with picks that I haven't seen before, but they're like the internet favorites and stuff. These are all the fights that impacted me the most in my years of watching anime, the ones that stuck out in my head as like moments where I was like, oh man, that's crazy. Or like things that really switched a series around. So I'm excited to hear the internet list, though.
Yeah, it's not a bad list. Slash Film did a pretty good job, in my opinion. We'll do all 10 because I think it's fun to talk to. I'll do them three or four in a row. Number 10, Cowboy Bebop, the movie, Spike versus Vincent. Number 9, One Piece's Luffy versus Katakuri. And number 8, Chainsaw Man, Denji versus Katana Man.
I haven't seen Chainsaw Man. I've been wanting to watch it because everybody's talking so much about it, but I haven't had time to watch it.
It's going to be a love it or hate it for you because it's got a lot of very anime pervertedness in it.
You know, I've come around to accept anime pervertedness to a certain extent. Over the topness with it, I never remember is it Hero Art Online or something? There's
Sword Art Online.
Yeah, there's one that was just like that, the anime pervertedness messed with the action. Like they literally would cut in these scenes and just the action would come to a full halt to see physics jiggle. And I was like, oh man, this is so stupid. But you know, there's certain levels of anime perversion that I've just had to accept to see good anime. So we'll see. I'll give it a shot. I will say nothing sets me like off an anime more than over the top anime perversion, but
it's an interesting perversion, I'll say. It's a character based perversion that makes sense. I like the perversion, but not because it's perverted, because I like the way that it molds the characters and who they are and actually allows them to grow. Gotta go. One Piece, Luffy versus Katakuri is one of my favorite fights. I love the fight. One Piece's problem, anime wise, a little bit to the manga, but mostly anime, is just the pacing. It's hard for a fight to really be that great when it is over 20 episodes. Like,
yeah.
And they're telling the whole story, so it didn't make my list.
Cowboy Bebop, awesome. I wanted to put Cowboy Bebop on this list. I struggled to because the fight scenes tend to be shootouts, you know. I know that this one, I mean, they go in and out of shootouts. I didn't have like a hard line about it, but it was sort of like, I didn't know where to draw that line. And sometimes these Cowboy Bebop fights, I was like, I would describe that as a shootout. But I mean, what's the difference between shooting energy beams out of your hands and bullets out of guns? You know, maybe it's a dumb line for me to draw.
Very good point. Number 7, Jujutsu Kaisen's Yuji and Nobara versus Esso and Kichizu. Number 6, Samurai Champloo, Mugen and Jin versus Kagetoki and Tobe. And number 5, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stardust Crusaders, Jotaro versus Dio. I'm going to say, Jotaro versus Dio came up a lot. I don't think it's the best JoJo's fight by any means, personally. I think the final fight in Part 4 is better, and I'm a Part 4 fan, so maybe that's why, but I think it's more interesting. And I think the final fight in Part 6 is way crazier and more interesting, too. Not the final kind of battle, but the whole conflict between the final villain and really the whole crew that leads up to the real final battle. Those to me take the cake over Jotaro versus Dio. I know Dio's like the lead villain in the series, really, but especially in the anime, that's a fight that just keeps going on and on and has too many tricks in a bag and doesn't really commit in other ways. Like, it's not an interesting location. Fight moves aren't that interesting. I don't know. Dio's more like and it's going to be hard for this to be a negative to some people, but to me, he's like Ric Flair. I prefer him when he's not fighting and off the screen than when he's actually like the focus of attention, but I just wanted to get that out.
Yeah, I mean, Samurai Champloo, one of my favorites. There's a lot of good ones to choose from that one as well. Really, really cool show. in the same style as sort of Cowboy Bebop. I like that style a lot. And with all like the over the topness of some of these fights, I think it's cool to have fights where it's a little more grounded. I know that they're kind of doing superhuman physical moves and stuff, but it's cool to see just like a sword fight, as well as you know, the sort of dark mirror fight that fight was pretty cool.
Yeah, love Samurai Champloo. I like that fight a lot. I think the interesting part of it, well, just in case you're picking it, I'm not going to talk too much about it. So moving on, Naruto Shippuden, Naruto versus Sasuke at number 4, One Punch Man, Saitama versus Boros at number 3, and Dragon Ball Super Broly, Vegeta and Goku versus Broly at number 2.
Mm. I never saw the Super Broly one, so I don't have a reference on that. I didn't see that on many lists at all. But yeah, I don't have a reference for that. I also, again, always apologize to have no reference for Naruto. So I don't know what that fight. I'm just assuming it's the fight with a million ninjas all doing stuff all together in the desert. But I have a very, very limited view of Naruto, unfortunately.
I remember this fight in the manga and the anime. It's really good in the anime, and it's weighty as far as, you know, this is the fight we had been waiting for maybe a decade by that point, as it was kind of the second version of this fight. It's great. It ends so corny for me. I couldn't put it on the list. They blow each other's, what? Spoilers.
Whoa.
Spoilers. They blow each other's arms off, and the blood from their arms, like at the forearms, creates a heart. This was too corny for me. But it's a good fight otherwise.
I don't know. I feel like I'm always hating on Naruto, but that feels like a Naruto fight.
I love Naruto.
Giant fox comes out and is like, sorry, Naruto.
The One Punch Man is great, but it's a One Punch Man fight. They're interesting, of course.
I mean,
I love One Punch Man.
Yeah, that's the best One Punch Man fight. I don't actually think One Punch Man ever has really good fights. I think that's the point, you know.
Saitama doesn't. Other people in the show do, but never him.
Right. Well, this is the best Saitama fight, I think, where it actually felt a little bit like a fight. But yeah, I don't know if I were to choose that one, or if I would choose the one where he flicks a guy in the balls, just because it's like
Megan brought that one up too.
The whole point is how goofy and silly it is, and that's probably the greatest version of not taking a fight seriously.
Yeah,
he's just like, and then they cut it in slow motion, and he can't stop his momentum, but he knows he's about to get hit in the balls.
Yeah,
that's a good one too. What's the best one, Cam? I this list is all over the place.
Cowboy Bebop, Spike versus the Red Dragon Syndicate.
I wanted to choose this so bad, and it was so shootouty and like grenades and stuff. I regret my decision of keeping this off, because this was going to be like my major pick. I love Cowboy Bebop so much. It is so in style. Man, good pick.
I didn't pick it. It's not on my honorable mention either. I think it's good. I love the choreography of Cowboy Bebop, but I think there's a lot of anime with great choreography. I was looking for something else. And of the ones with great choreography, it's not my favorite. But did you have any of them from that list on your list?
I didn't have a single one from that list on my list.
Neither did I, and that's including the other four. So yeah. What would you like to start it with then?
I want to go with, I couldn't do this list without Dragon Ball Z or without a reference to Dragon Ball at all. That is what got me into anime in the first place. Again, I don't know anything about the Goku and Vegeta versus Broly. I don't know how you could have a Dragon Ball base pick without going with this pick, because it was so, it like changed the scope of Dragon Ball, and in my mind it's like a scene in a show that really defined my childhood. How do you not go Goku versus Frieza? Goku versus Frieza was like mind-blowing to me as a kid.
Yeah, that's definitely on mine too.
It
could have been Go to the Ball now thinking about it. Like, it's just, it feels like the definitive anime fight.
As an American transferring into anime, probably Go to Above. Like, maybe if we talk to people that grew up with it and stuff and knew anime before, but like, this is the first anime I had ever watched, the first period. And this is like the moment. This is like, you have so much in this fight. You know, it's funny you brought that up about the One Piece thing, because this fight goes over multiple episodes and is super long too. But it's like, there's so much in this fight. I had to like rewatch it and like write down the beats of this fight, because it's like so much goes on.
The big difference between this one and the One Piece one is that it's the main action for all of those episodes. Mm. It might take 20 episodes, but it's basically 20 episodes of Goku versus Frieza. And it's all really, to me, it's all really interesting. Now, there's some bad pacing for sure, and Dragon Ball Kai helped with a lot of that. But I think that, you know, it has basically everything that you want in this style of fight. Beam struggles. There's actual strategy, because Frieza can't feel energy like Goku and Fam can. The spirit bomb, the tension of whether he's going to hit it, the planet being destroyed around them.
Yeah.
And of course, the greatest transformation in fiction history, in my opinion.
Vegeta getting cut in half and like
Krillin.
Well, doesn't Vegeta get cut in half?
Oh, wait, too? Does he?
Yeah, I think this has got half Vegeta as well. It's such a meaty fight that sometimes I mix it up, but I'm pretty sure that he gets sliced in half at one point.
Frieza gets cut in half.
That's what I said.
You said Vegeta. I was confused.
Oh.
I was like, what?
Sorry. That's a morning pick. Yeah, Frieza gets cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's Krillin dies. Like there's so much to this. It was monumental at the time. We had never seen Super Saiyan. That alone, the introduction of Super Saiyan and it like being as crazy big as what the legend, like the legend had it so lofty that it was hard to imagine how cool it would be. And now it's just like the language of anime and, you know, pop culture is going Super Saiyan. And the first time seeing the gold hair all spiked up and stuff, and it was just such a crazy, crazy fight. And I think like the dying world around them is really what sets the tone for me, where like it's so on par for what the character developments are. Like it's very, very Frieza of him to throw that bomb at Goku, miss and destroy the world. And it's just like, you know, this was his plan all along. He whatever it takes to win, he'll like, he's a psycho. Yeah, it couldn't be anything but this for me. I'm if anything, my biggest criticize or criticism of the internet list that we read is I do not understand how you could pick another Dragon Ball fight. I just don't.
Yeah, it's, and to be fair, the Goku and Vegeta versus Broly fight is really cool. It's really interesting and fun. Goku versus Frieza is like the mountain breaker Dragon Ball fight. No matter how much bigger, how much more transformations they create, or how many more, how much stronger the characters get, the overall impact of that first. I mean, to me, Goku versus Vegeta is better than Goku and Vegeta versus Broly. But Goku versus Frieza, what are you, nuts? This is anime. This is what Jotaro versus Dio wants to be. And isn't.
Yeah, it's like, I don't care how much more polished and pretty the animation gets. I don't care what color Goku's hair transforms into as he goes God mode. I don't care what sort of things that he beats. It's all stacking up for this absolutely perfect fight and perfect moment. And it's like, there's a reason why they keep bringing Frieza back over and over and over.
Is that Indy? Is Indy messing with you?
That was Indy. He was messing with the other microphone.
Okay, I have to bring it up because that shuffling, we'll hear that. So it's fun to bring it up when it's like that.
He was messing with the other microphone. He was sniffing it.
Based Indy.
But yeah, this is the OG fight. I mean, it's just like, I loved the Cell Saga. I was a huge fan of the Cell Saga and Majin Buu. But they don't really bring them back. I mean, they bring back Boo a little bit and stuff, but Frieza is always, this is the arch nemesis. He comes back in a gold form and you're like, whoa, Frieza is the bad guy.
I will say One Piece soon may finally, for the first time, be the anime that surpasses Dragon Ball's Super Saiyan transformation. It has the craziest, coolest transformation in anime history coming up within the next couple months, and I'm so hyped to see it animated. It's legitimately bizarre.
Where the fish people actually grow fish tails?
No fish people in this.
And they've become full fish.
No. I'm gonna Yeah, that could have been Goat Above. I didn't know if you would have it or not, so I didn't. I mean, it could have been. I don't think it necessarily had to be.
I think it's, again, I think this is from the perspective of Americans discovering anime for the first time in middle school. And so
I'd say this would be just, I say it's more universal than that. It's definitely our experience, but
yeah,
Dragon Ball is the one of the biggest anime of all time everywhere.
Sure. I just it means a lot to me because it was literally the first giant moment in anime that I remember. And so that's why I'm sort of saying maybe it's not. It certainly could be, but it's hard to put it Goat Above without somebody who grew up in that culture here to give us their take.
Well, I'll give you my take on my next one. This is why it's hard for me to put anything Goat Above, because to me, and I keep coming back to this lately, the last couple months, but one of those definitions of greatest is greatest size, greatest scale. And Team Daiguren versus the Anti-Spirals, that final battle in Gurren Lagann, the scale of that battle and also the quality of the battle, from everything from a character perspective to the animation itself to the stakes, is just incredible. It's the biggest kaiju fight of all time. It's, or not kaiju, but biggest mecha fight of all time. One giant mecha trying to keep people and things with DNA down for eternity, to keep them in place, and one representing all of us spiral beings, literally spanning galaxies, throwing galaxies as part of the battle, these huge mechas, great character moments, like the villain for the first half of the series, who has been kind of used as a mechanism to pilot the ship and to just kind of guide them through the second half, him being used as, or him sacrificing himself in it for the goodness of the spiral creatures that he had kind of early on in the series decided that not to be anti-spirals, but had become a pretty creepy, dangerous dude because he saw what the anti-spirals would do. And, you know, the anti-spiral's goal at this point is really to halt the spiral nemesis. And literally, like, all living things are watching this battle. We're literally looking up like, these are giant mechs in the sky. And to pull that off, to make it seem, possible, but also to make the drama feel so real and feel just so heartfelt, and have that dramatic ending where we know one of these characters is probably not going to survive it, but they're taking the fight to their own people to some extent as well. It's just beautiful and just amazing and great in all the words that to me really define what it means to be great. And just Simone, the way that they're able to finally beat these anti-spirals, which is taking this great, great sized mech and Simone kind of bringing it back down to the basics of his little tiny drill guy for the final blow, is perfection.
Yeah, that's a great pick. Basically, living robots versus anything with DNA, any humans. Feels like we're going to see that in real life when Joe Rogan ends up fighting ChatGP in the future. No, that's a great one.
And, well, honestly, the dude I was talking about, the Spiral King, he looks like Joe Rogan.
Oh, geez. So Joe's on the other side. ChatGP is the one actually fighting for us.
No. Joe was on our side. He was a villain at first, but he came to the good side. You'll take it.
Yeah. We won't say more. Yeah, it's a great, great pick. Gotta love a great mech battle. I thought about doing some Gundam. There's a lot of good Gundam ones, but as far as like memorable, they all like merge into one fight in my head. Sort of mech stuff always tends to do that, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm glad you picked a mech fight, because I certainly did not have one on my list.
Yeah, I think mecha are a huge part of anime. To me,
I agree.
Gundam when I saw it. And again, to me, this is a less conventional mecha series. It's definitely not Gundam, but I love it. I love the series. I love the more human style, it's way more, well, I think all good Gundam shows and mecha shows are human-centric, but this is human-centric in a different way, because being human is what defines their sense of power in the first place. But yeah, to me, this is one of the greatest fights in fiction. Just, it's so cool.
So there's always two choices that I can't get away from when I do anime, because it is my two favorite animes by a lot. So I'll use this pick on one of them. I love My Hero Academia. I love it so much. And the fights and the powers are all so great. And the animation style is so cool and so crisp. There's a lot of fights that I could have chose from My Hero Academia, but one actually holds up the most in my mind as the most like significant fight. And it's Mirio versus Overhaul. So you can't talk My Hero Academia without going into the quirks and how the quirks play a role in these fights. It's part of the reason why I love My Hero Academia so much, is that these fights are so customized to the fighter and to the different powers and how they use their quirks, but not in a Superman way where whatever he needs just happens to show up, in more like a Flash way where they have to be creative and figure out how to do things. This is the best moment of that ever. So Mirio has a quirk where he basically can phase through stuff. In the scope of superpowers, the way that we typically view them, this is a superpower that doesn't get a lot of love. It's a little bit boring. The only real reference to this that we have is Kitty Pryde in X-Men being able to phase through things, and she almost certainly only uses this superpower to run away from things or sneak around. Mirio is a top level student and one of the most one of the best fighting students using his quirk in the whole campus, and he has figured out a lot of unique ways to use this quirk. There's some funny anime perversion with it too, because he basically has to get naked to use this quirk because his clothes won't stay on. He's phasing through stuff. But as far as overcoming the odds, this was, I mean, there's a lot of overcoming the odds moments in this series, but this one, I just could not wrap my mind around, how's he going to beat Overhaul? Overhaul was so OP at this moment. Basically, Overhaul can just disintegrate and reform stuff in a split second with his mind. Like, I couldn't imagine people getting near him. He's changed, like, and even in this scene, he's changing entire hallways to be spikes. Like, it's really like such an overpowered thing. I couldn't hardly figure out how anybody was going to beat Overhaul, and let alone the guy who his quirk is just being able to go through stuff. And yet the whole point of this part of the arc was how courageous and how this is probably the guy who should have got the one for all quirk. And even though you have characters that you want to root for, it was hard to look at this character, Mirio, and not say, oh, this is the most deserving dude for this one for all quirk. And you wanted to root against him the whole time, but it was just like over and over again, he proved himself, and it culminated into this moment where all the odds are against him and he doesn't waver at all. And it's so important to me in these anime fights to have this string of emotion tied through the whole arc being displayed in this fight. He's going to save this little girl that he promised he would save. And again, he's just going against odds that there's no way he thought he was going to succeed, but he did it anyway. And then the fight itself is unbelievable. He is just phasing through stuff. The action is so, so high. It's, to me, it's really, really hard to actually do like fights only using the environment extremely good. It tends to not read very well, but the animation and the drawing of this is so, so clean. Everything makes sense. And spoiler alert, it comes together in a moment where he saves the day but loses his quirk and his ability to use quirks and gets hurt really bad. And it's for that guy to lose his quirk, it was a really interesting moment of hope because they were able to beat it, and hopelessness because this guy was the guy that at the end of it you actually felt deserved the one for all quirk more than anybody, and now he was not even able to use anything. And so that fight in My Hero Academia, like I said, there's a lot of great ones. I have some on my honorable mention, but that fight specifically was just like absolute chef's kiss perfect to me as far as storytelling and emotional stakes goes. Absolutely perfect.
So My Hero Academia, to me, it is the fight that does one of the best jobs of defining what I like about it as opposed to what I dislike. And what I've kind of grown to be a, not so much hate, but like in an almost Naruto-like way, I thought that, I feel like it got away from the core themes that it started with. But Mirio feels like he could have been the protagonist, and I almost would have preferred it, because he is just this dude that has worked super hard. He's hard work, he's ambition, and he's a true hero in that he's doing it specifically to save people and to put his life on the line every day. And in this fight, like you said, it's this idea of this guy who has a, I won't say devil fruit, but he has a quirk that is seemingly useless, but has managed to make it extremely powerful, has trained up his own abilities, not only just his strengths, but, you know, his ability to tell what Overhaul is going to do, which is why he's able to survive for that third of the fight afterwards without his quirk at the end, and create this battle of ideals, first of all, from the preservation of life against this guy who wants to not only eradicate life, but eradicate these quirks and is willing to sacrifice life in order to do so. But also this battle of hard work versus, you know, the guy who is gifted with this extremely powerful quirk and uses it for these destructive reasons. Yeah, I think this is a great fight and one of the better ones from My Hero. I'm not saying I hate My Hero now or that there still aren't good fights to this day. I didn't love what happened as far as Midoriya just becoming so overly powerful to me.
Yeah, I don't love Midoriya's main line either. Even though I do love Midoriya and I love him as a main character, but to me the coolness of it was everybody having one quirk and stuff, and you know, it feels like you can't do a superhero type story without ending up getting Hyperion or Superman at some point in time.
Oh yeah, that's your hate Superman right there. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to move on. I think this is the newest fight on this list with the oldest anime. Well, no, it's not the oldest anime. I don't know why I even said that. I think this is the newest fight on this list. It happened last year, but it's a fight that we've been in some ways waiting for over 20 years. Ash versus Leon. In Pokemon, the last fight that mattered, Ash becoming the Pokemon champion, the champion of champions, against a dude that people hate. People hate Leon. People hate Leon because they love Cynthia and they think that he's too strong. He shouldn't be able to beat Cynthia or whoever. To me, Leon is a perfect heel. His team, especially in the anime, is literally four starters. He has four freaking starters, a pseudo legendary, and Mr. Rhyme for some reason. The Mr. Rhyme is kind of smack. But all three of the original starters, plus a Charizard and a Dragapult. And he takes it to Ash. A lot of people have taken it to Ash, but nobody quite like Leon. And the fight matters. Like, this is, people really wondered, like, are they going to let Ash win this? Because if they do, if Ash fulfills this final goal, he's become the champion in the Alola League. And if he becomes the greatest champion, then there's no reason for Ash anymore. And so now, right now in the future, we all know they've restarted. There's a new anime, new protagonist. Pikachu's no longer on it. So they really had to pull off this fight. And I believe they did. So the fight is great overall. Ash takes out some of his Pokemon, but there are three of Leon's Pokemon left, and they all are fully healthy, and all four of Ash's Pokemon left are damaged to some extent or another, and that's, you know, a strategy type thing. And then Leon's Rillaboom just goes ham and leaves Ash with just two left. He just goes ham. But what the moment that makes, and that's, you know, that's rising the tensions. And the moment that makes the fight amazing. So first we have the Gigantamax battle with Cinderace, which Cinderace knocks Pikachu's Gigantamax electricity. He like kicks it out away, which is crazy. But the ending, we get a freaking Rocky moment. We get Stan Marsh at the end of that episode where he's fighting Bat Dad, where Pikachu gets knocked down and he needs to hear the encouragement from his old allies throughout the series. And literally, we see every Pokemon that Ash has owned through the years, every single one of them cheering Pikachu on so he'll get up and bring it to Charizard, Leon's ace, for the final time. And these are, you know, the series two aces. Charizard and Pikachu are by far the most popular Pokemon. Pikachu gets up, and to me, only second to Ash versus Kukui, as far as animation-wise, this is the second greatest animated moment we've seen in this Pokemon series. Creating, and Pikachu, with a final headbutt, beats this Charizard, and Ash is the freaking champion. We've been waiting since 1997 or 8 for this, and he pulled it off, and it feels right. And, you know, this is after three, four, 5 years of, I think maybe to some extent, some soul searching with Pokemon, where they had to decide, okay, I guess it is time, after Ash lost to Elaine, who was this guy, this superpowered guy who had, what was it called, who mega evolved his Charizard. And Elaine was in this too. And I think Elaine got beat by Cynthia or somebody. But after losing to him, they're like, okay, I get, like, the fan hatred of it was so big that they actually reacted and let Ash win in the next gen. And then after that, it's this new gen where it's all about Ash traveling the world as a champion. And so finally culminating this 20-something year run into him being the champion, fulfilling the theme song. In the dub version, the theme song actually plays. It's incredible. So yeah, to me, this is the fight that more than any that I can think of really takes an anime and actually pulls together an ending, or at least an ending fight that feels conclusive and feels worthy of such a long amount of time waiting for it.
That's a great one. That's a great one. I really, after the first run of the Pokemon anime series, I didn't really tune in very much. So I tend to forget about Pokemon when we do lists like this. But yeah, I totally agree. This culmination of years and years and years of fans watching Ash and Ash persevering and getting whipped. What a monumental moment. Also, Cynthia's the GOAT. So I'm totally down with Leon getting beat, because Cynthia is my GOAT character of Pokemon, period. But yeah, that's great. Pokemon gives us such great moments, man. I just think it's just so funny that a little series about essentially animal fighting can give us such these huge monumental moments, like Pikachu shedding a tear for Ash after Mewtwo turns him to stone or whatever. Like, it's just funny to me that anime can take these wild, silly ideas and actually turn it into very powerful emotional scenes. Just like this, where, you know, Ash loses for, again, he's been 13 years old or 12 years old for 30 years now. Yeah. And he finally wins one. He hasn't aged a day. It's funny to me. Pokemon's a funny thing. But yeah, I love that pick. So for my third pick, I lied. I do have a pick from the internet list, and it's my pick for the most over the top action that I've ever seen And it's hard to believe there's so much over the top action in anime. And again, I don't even think that I've seen probably a lot of anime. I love anime, but there's so much out there. But the pick that I have is Satsuma versus Boros as the most over the top pure action sequence. And just for the sake of the animation of it and the drawing, I've never seen anything like it. It's just absolutely reality bending wild. The speed that they're moving, the energy shots, the different transformations, it is such a wild, crazy fight. And to me, it's my favorite just colorful explosion of violence that only an anime can give you. You cannot visualize this in any other medium. I can, at least. I like, if they made a live action, I have no idea. I don't even think that we could really understand what we are looking at if they made a live action version of this. Boros constantly changing his form until he's like basically pure energy and pure electricity. Their movements around the ship, their destruction. Satsuma gets punched to the moon and comes back. it's so wildly over the top and so fun. And in this series where Satsuma is basically beating everything easily, it's a funny series because, you know, there's other characters that get really good fights, but Satsuma actually just gets like really good moments, you know. His fights aren't very good. I just think of like him fighting the Sea King and throwing that punch and then all the rain stopping. That's an awesome moment. As a fight, that's terrible, you know, that sucks. He just beats him with one punch again. But it's like these moments are great. And this is the first time in the series you really see Satsuma trying at all. You know, he had to throw his regular punch or his average punch. I don't remember what he says. But to see him destroy something as powerful as Boros, and I know he ends up fighting other super powerful stuff in the manga and stuff. And but the Boros thing was the first time we really saw him. And I think of all the wild, crazy, over-the-top stuff. We talked about this even with Dragon Ball. Like, Dragon Ball, with this god stuff, they're doing wild, over-the-top stuff. But this was like throwing the entire kitchen sink at the animators and being like, make this make sense. And they do an unbelievable job. And it really, to me, I wanted to put the scene where he flicks, I forget the ninja guy's name, but flicks him in the nuts.
Speed of sound. What is his name? Sonic.
I wanted to put that because I think that like gets the purpose of One Punch Man the greatest. But to me, this is the best, like, just overblown animated craziness that I've ever seen. And so I had to put this on my list just for how wild it is.
Yeah, this is one of the great over the top battles. And I think what he calls the punches that he pulls out are the serious series punches. Yeah. His serious series punches for sure. But just because what it really is it's showing off how powerful Boros is, but it's certainly showing off like the depth of Saitama's power. Like you said, yeah. He gets punched to the moon and just comes back like it's nothing. I think he gets a little bit of cosmetic scratches on him, but for the most part, he just acknowledges at the end that Boros is really strong. Like, you can tell, oh, this guy can actually take a couple punches, but at the end of the day, it's still us fighting our nephew that does push-ups as a 10-year-old. But they, like, this is anime. It's not just how hard the fight was. It's how well it's animated, it's the sound, and it's the spectacle. And all of that, to me, contributed to a pretty great fight here. So I definitely can see it as one of the greats. Didn't make my list. I'm going to go the complete opposite direction. And this is my last pick. This fight is completely personal. This is a fight that I think did the personal drama, the personal conflict at its best, because there are two conflicts here. One is an inner conflict. It's from One Piece, Usopp versus Luffy. Usopp's inner conflict is destroying him because he is the weakest member of the crew. He is the member of the crew with the least defined goal or the least defined kind of role on the ship. He's the sniper. That's what he becomes. But he had been sort of a quartermaster before this, where Nami also has sort of that role. He had been like the makeshift shipwright, and they're trying to find a new one. And of course, they're trying to get a new ship because they went and the people looked over their ship and found out that the keel is broken. I think it's the keel, or maybe it's the hull. I might need to look that up. But a part of the ship that cannot be repaired once it's broken is at the end of its life, and they need to get a new ship. And Usopp, seeing the ship as kind of, you know, this is what they've journeyed on. The ship is more than just a ship. It is a member of their crew in the same way. And he sees them as being able to dispose it so easily, as synonymous to them being able to dispose of him as a member of the crew because of his weakness, or at least his perceived weakness, because they don't view him that way, but he views himself that way. And he goes at Luffy, their captain. He's like, we're not getting rid of the ship. We need to keep it. And this is, you know, minutes or hours after they've brought all this gold back from, you know, the gold that they've stolen from this Sky Island. They've brought it back and sold it and made enough money to get a new ship. And he got beat up and lost the gold. And so, like, he's at his most vulnerable state. Not only is he the weakest guy, but his weakness has cost him greatly already. And he says, you know, we can fight for the ship. And Luffy and his, you know, everybody is affected by the loss of this ship. So Luffy's the captain, and he's like, okay, we're going to do that. We're going to fight for it in his moment as well. And he doesn't have the same sort of sense of self-loathing as Usopp does, but they're all raw at this. And Luffy is childlike. So he's like, you know, we don't have to do this afterwards when Usopp storms out. But his second in command, Zoro, was like, I'll leave the crew too if you don't fight this guy. He challenged you on your ship. You're the captain. If I have a captain that won't fight when a crew member challenges him, then I don't want to be here either. And so Luffy's forced to fight. And again, Usopp is legitimately weak. He is the non-superhuman version of the person on this crew, but he knows Luffy. He knows how he fights. And he goes out and prepares traps. He prepares all of his strongest abilities. And he uses his sniper skills for half of an episode or a quarter of an episode, really make it seem like he can beat Luffy. And he's doing things that it's like, dang, I wish Usopp would do this against actual enemies. But at the end of the day, Luffy is the future king of the pirates. He's much stronger than Usopp. Once he gets a hold of him, once Usopp makes the smallest mistake, he beats him. A single punch is really all it takes for Luffy to beat Usopp, a punch that he absolutely does not want to give, for a reason that he doesn't want to. They don't really want to get rid of the ship. And it just creates this, you know, Usopp has had these moments where he's looked like, where he's triumphed after getting whooped, but nobody wins here. Usopp doesn't win, Luffy doesn't win, and we don't really win, but we do because it builds both of their characters up, and it builds up this need for a reunification that we'll eventually get. But the fight stands as like the most dramatic moment for a lot of people in this anime, where true best friends fight each other for a reason that really, really helps reflect who they are as characters and where these Straw Hats are as a group as a whole. And it's, to me, one of the great dramatic conflicts in anime history.
That does sound dramatic. Sounds very One Piece-y. I imagine that a half fish man at some point comes to the battlefield, says something silly.
No fishman here. Uh-oh. No silliness. This is like no silliness at all in this fight. It's just really dramatic. Everything about it is dark outside. Everybody's crying. Or at least two of the characters are crying. One of the crew members is missing. It's just like the roughest, most emotional point they come to probably in the series. Well, maybe one more moment a couple years later. But yes, this is just, you know, a crying session type thing where the fans go in and are just like broken up, especially if you don't know what's coming afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds good. It's always good to have like a brother versus brother type fight. Anyway, I don't think that we've mentioned any so far. I don't have one like that on my list. So I think that your list has rounded off a lot of the stuff that I had forgotten, like mechs and brother versus brother, or like crew versus crew teammate fights, Gobert versus Kyle Anderson. So yeah, that's a good pick. So for my last pick, I am going with the anime that I have to choose every single time because it's my favorite anime by a mile, and it's perfect in every way. I love this anime so much, and this isn't just me doing fan service to it. This is legitimately one of the coolest villain fights I've ever seen. It is from Full Metal Alchemist, and it is when Fuhrer Bradley fights everybody. You need a good villain fight. We have a lot of good villains fighting on this list, but this one is one where the villain is like just wins. And I think that this is an important thing in anime or in any type of action at all. If the villains always lose, then it's hard to believe what's going on. Fuhrer Bradley is really interesting. We start the series and he is a very nice, soft-spoken older man that you can tell has some sort of powers, or is that at least extremely skilled or dangerous, but he seems to keep cuffs on it the whole time. And as the series evolves, you learn that he is a homunculus with superhuman powers. And his seven deadly sin is the sin of wrath. He is the embodiment of wrath, which is hard to see as the series starts because he is so nice. Even when it's revealed, it's hard to understand because he seems so nice and so reasonable all the time. Even as a villain, he seems reasonable, and it's hard to envision him as wrath. But we get these little splinters of moments where we can see his true power. The first coming when Edward Elric goes at him and puts like a spear to him, and you don't see him move, but his sword is drawn and he doesn't really flinch at it. And then he fights another homunculus, and you can see that's really where it gets revealed in his powers. But everything is really, really contained. These homunculus have superhuman powers. They're very hard to beat. But of all of them, Fuhrer Bradley seems the most human. He doesn't seem to really have powers. And then this scene happens where he lets go of his shackles. And really, you know, it's sort of the Goku losing the weighted clothing moment where he's like, okay, here we go. And he fights a whole army up a hallway, up this tunnel that ends in a tank, destroys this tank. And he's doing all of this with just swords, just his physical body and swords, people shooting at him. The tank is metal. he cuts through the entire thing, and it's explosive. It's dangerous. It's great, but it gets better from that as he makes it to the top of this tower, and he's actually battling these characters that we're invested in. It's easy to just cut through a bunch of fodder, but now he's going against characters we're invested in with some sort of plot armor type stuff to them. They're really powerful. And his fight with these characters is so good because it's not just physical. The thing about Fuhrer Bradley that really differentiates him from the other homunculi is his thoughtfulness. He's playing chess. Even as he physically fights, he's playing chess with these characters, and they're pulling out all their secret moves, and he's seeing it come and changing it. And you get all these great moments. One of my favorite moments of all anime ever, he stabs this dude through the stomach and tries to remove his sword, and he can't because the guy's abs are so strong that he holds the sword. And you get this moment where Fuhrer Bradley's like, "Those are some strong abs," or says something like that. And it's like, it's the perfect amount of breaking the tension in these fights. Anime can certainly break tension far too. We kicked off this episode talking about it. There are a lot of anime moments that they try to break tension, and it's way too much. And to me, it ruins the action. It ruins the fight. This is just one of those moments where, you know, Fuhrer Bradley, he might be wrath, but he's not prideful, right? The great irony is that in the first Full Metal Alchemist, he is pride. But in this moment, you know, he acknowledges that his opponents are impressive. And that's sort of perfect to me. He really doesn't have a lot of faults to him other than pure wrath, his rage, his fury. And the way that these homunculi perfectly embody the sins that they are created under is really impressive. And there's no more impressive than wrath, especially in this fight where he's got no pride. He's got no jealousy and stuff. He's just pure. This is his untethered wrath. And so he's complimenting the dude on his abs as he slices him in half and stuff. And it's a moment in this anime where, honestly, to me, I know a lot of people like the final fight with Father. This is the absolute peak of the anime to me. After this, it loses a little bit of steam. It gets very philosophical, but this is like the culmination of all of the political intrigue, spy stuff, all of the physical stuff that makes this anime great. This is the absolute pinnacle of it. And, you know, one of my favorite anime villains of all time gets this moment where he absolutely shines and destroys everybody and comes out on top. And I think that that's important in these action scenes, is to have the villains win sometimes.
Yeah, I think so too. The villain winning and just decimating is how you build up a good villain. It's, in general, to me, like, it's why I wasn't interested in The Rise of Skywalker. You don't go to your, you don't lead into the finale with your villain looking weak, with your villain having lost. You make the villain look like the strongest, baddest, or craziest dude possible. And this fight definitely did that with Fuhrer Bradley. He's a fascinating character, in my opinion, having started out as a human. And this fight just frames him as, like you said, it frames him. We had already seen him fight before, but we hadn't seen him as a pure monster. We hadn't been shown the gravity of his power and strength, and of course his wrath. And this fight did a great job of that. I certainly had a feeling that you would be making an FMA pick, and I thought it was going to be Bradley, because I think you picked him in your greatest anime villains, or probably male anime villains. episode, but I think it's a great choice every time you make it. And it's one of the highlight fights in the series. There are so many highlight fights in the series for sure. I think you could pick the father one if you wanted. You could pick one of the ones with Armstrong's sister, the female Armstrong, but this is going against the Ling greed. It's really, really cool at the top. So great choice to finish this episode off with.
Yeah, so my picks were Goku versus Frieza from Dragon Ball Z, Mirio versus Overhaul from My Hero Academia, Fear Bradley versus everyone, Full Metal Alchemist, and Satsuma versus Boros in One Punch Man. And I have some good honorable mentions. The other My Hero Academia ones that stick out, because I do love the action of them, Eraserhead versus the League of Villains was so cool. You also have Hawks and what's the fire dude's name?
Endeavor.
Hawks and Endeavor, when they were just fighting all of those Nobu. That one was awesome as well. I've got the Cowboy Bebop opening scene. I actually didn't. That one is like so stylish and so reused through all pop culture. I'm surprised that that wasn't on the internet list. But just a beautifully choreographed one that really sets up the character of Spike so well. Andy just knocked a cup over. He's being a jerk.
He's a rascal, as Emily would say.
Netero versus Miriam, Hunter Hunter, where the thousand hands or the thousand punches comes out. That one was great. And finally, Goku versus Vegeta, Dragon Ball Z.
All right. So for my picks, I have Goku versus Frieza, of course. Team Gurren versus the Anti-Spiral. Ash versus Leon. And that's from Pokemon, I should say. Team Gurren versus the Anti-Spiral from Gurren Lagann. Goku versus Frieza is deep, Dragon Ball Z. And Usopp versus Luffy from One Piece, my honorable mention. Luffy versus Katakuri from One Piece. Azuma versus Ryuho from Scryde. This is my favorite anime fight of all time. I don't know if I could put it on my list necessarily against those other four, but it's if you've never seen Scryde, a lot of people call it Scryde. It has like S-Cry-Eed, amazing fight. Everyone versus Poochie at the end of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 6 is the coolest fight I've ever seen. It's just crazy. It's so cool. Josuke versus Kira from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 4 is amazing. And I also have a Hunter x Hunter fight, but it's Meruem versus Komugi. The chess fight or the whatever the game they're playing fight.
Yeah.
I think that's the most interesting fight from that series personally. But yeah, those are my picks.
Yeah, awesome. This was a fun list to do, a fun little series to look at. I think that we're going to keep going with it and probably do some live action fights next. Hopefully we'll get LeBron on the live action fights, because certainly he'll know a lot more once we include the Marvel series and stuff like that.
Do you want me to say what we have coming up, what other ones we have?
Yeah.
We have live action TV fight scenes. We've done animated TV fight scenes. We have movie fight scenes. We just did anime. We have animated movie fight scenes, reality TV show fight scenes, where we might get some of the ladies on, and pro wrestling fights.
Oh.
Oh, Mojo's here. Mojo.
Good boy, Mojo.
Good boy, Mojo.
Yeah, awesome. And so keep tuning in if you like this little fight series. We'll do them every once in a while. We have some other backlogged content that we want to get to as well. But yeah, it's fun to look at anime fights. This is probably, to me, the best medium for fights. Oh, he handsome. But again, all as always, thank you all you Bills, Phils, Nannies, and Does out there for tuning in once again. We love everybody's support. We also love to hear from you guys, so please reach out to us on Facebook, on Instagram, on our websites, and keep tuning in. And until next time,
stay great and lead on.